This is Open Line on VOCM.
Welcome back to Open Line. I'm Tim Powers, guest hosting today. Now, we are going to talk to Dr. Suzanne Brake, the seniors advocate for Newfoundland and Labrador. And let's full disclose, I've known Suzanne for years, since I was a child. So she is sworn to secrecy and won't tell us any bad tales from my youth. Right, Suzanne?
Absolutely not.
Well, I'm not quite a senior, but if I were you at least do better advocacy for me in that regard? My God, don't sell out on me.
You are creeping up there.
You were talking to my mother this morning, were you, to score some points? I see.
No,
I see.
Not at all. I don't need that. Jim, it's lovely to hear your voice on the radio. And
the people of Newfoundland
and Labrador have a special spot in their hearts for Patty, but I think they do for you too.
Oh, geez, now Suzanne, that's all harmonious. We better get to the topic of the day. So, in your role, I suspect, I know I've seen lots of the news stories. You've been extremely busy. I know, at least from here in Ontario, and I've seen it in Newfoundland and Labrador, the most vulnerable segment of society during COVID has been so-called seniors, whether depending on what number you start defining them as a senior. So the Atlantic bubble obviously is likely going to cause some concerns among the seniors community. What's your take on it, and what's the work you're looking to do now as this bubble comes into place?
I think that your listeners have heard over and over again from Dr. Heggie and Dr. Fitzgerald that one of the most difficult decisions they've had to make through this whole process concerned seniors. But let's talk about that for a second now.
Sure.
You say seniors, and I say vulnerable people people who are frail, who are most likely living in long-term care facilities. That is the group of people that they're the most concerned. And seriously, that means about 5% of people over the age of 65.
Okay.
So those people are especially affected, or could potentially be affected. And you've seen it in Ontario. Mm-hmm. You've seen it in Quebec. In Canada, we should be ashamed of ourselves that more than 80% of people who have died from COVID have lived in long-term care facilities. But we have been really, really fortunate here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Our Dr. Fitzgerald, she jumped very quickly to completely restricting visitation, and also any portability of staff from place to place. So that affected it, and putting in personal equipment, et cetera, as quickly as possible. But still, there is going to be a lot of anxiety about whether or not, if a case of COVID, if one person is infected, how quickly that can move, throughout a long-term care facility. We in Newfoundland and Labrador have chosen to have a system of long-term care and personal care homes, and some of these places still have four people in one room.
I certainly know here in Ontario, and you know far better than I, and the national stories have been that's the great vulnerability with the spreading of COVID. More people in a room, particularly a room where only the divider is a curtain, and attention is not paid to the degree that families would like to the patients, then that can be a hotbed, correct, of extension.
It can be, and that therein lies the issue. Some of the newer buildings, which are huge and very large, and I'm not in agreement with that either, but at least they have single rooms and separate bathrooms. But, some of our older buildings, so as a seniors advocate, I've been talking about infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about staffing. I mean, we've had issues and concerns about long-term care pre-COVID. But right now, we're opening up the Atlantic bubble, and from the callers you're getting that there is some anxiety because people are afraid that if they if they come in contact with the virus, then they may not do as well as seniors because they have other chronic diseases and conditions and some frailty. Now, there are some seniors who will do really, really well, and all I'm saying is as a senior, maybe somebody 65 and older, I know 80-year-olds who are healthier than than 40-year-olds. So, you know, it's really how you look at it. I mean, there are 80-year-olds who are going out there and volunteering and helping and supporting. So we can't just put a number on that.
No, it's a really good point you make. I get the purpose of the sciences, as you know better than I, they will quantify demography, and age is a key factor in doing all of that. But what do you make of this national debate? Because it's one of these debates that I think has the danger of being just becoming a fad. And the national debate is we need to do more for long-term care homes. It's been focused on the, as you've rightly outlined, the challenges in Ontario and Quebec. In Quebec, the military was called in. I mean, what can the federal governments and provincial governments do, recognizing you're aligned with the provincial government, to improve the conditions for seniors or vulnerable people, to use your term, who are in long-term care homes? What do you want to see coming out of COVID as policy actions?
I think that the Canada Health Act has never included long-term care as an entity under its powers. So I think that long-term care facilities like hospitals need to be funded appropriately. The staffing needs to be looked at. We need to look at what are the right numbers of staff, the right mixes of staff. Mm-hmm. We need to look at the infrastructure of these buildings. And just because we haven't had a case here in Newfoundland and Labrador doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing the exact same thing. And I have been advocating for that, you know, all along. When I was appointed into this position, mm-hmm. you know, I did that was in November of 2017. I did a thorough consultation process throughout the whole province, and that's an issue that came up over and over again. So it's needed. We need a better inspection process in our long-term care facilities. We need to have a more responsive system in place in the event of infections such as COVID. I'm not saying that we didn't do a good job. We did do a good job. But there was a cost to this. And the cost is that we have all of these residents who are living in long-term care facilities who have been isolated. And there is a cost of social isolation.
A major cost to social isolation, and we all know that. I mean, I remember your mother-in-law and that generation of people were very fortunate that when they were financially able not to be able to live independently. But the one thing that always struck me about that group of people is the social contacts that they preserved and how vital those social contacts were to keeping them well and healthy mentally, which also has a huge impact physically on the way people are able to live.
The other part of all that is that I think we've underestimated the support of family and friends who actually come to visit in long-term care facilities and the oversight that they provide as well. So you have not just the social isolation of older people or people, and some younger people too, you know, living in long-term care facilities, but of people, but also of their loved ones, because they are finding this, you know, very, very difficult, and they become extremely anxious. Now, that having been said, the other side of all this is that nobody wants COVID to visit a long-term care facility, because we have seen what the outcomes can be.
I feel
Dr. Fitzgerald's agony about having to make this kind of a decision. Now, she has lessened it so that at least one person can visit, but they wear masks, and it's very difficult, like, not to be able to touch and hug and hold somebody you love.
Yeah, so difficult, yeah. Can I interview
this morning?
Sure, go ahead.
Talking about your grandson, your son, sorry.
Jeez, I better not have a grandson, Suzanne. I'll be in a lot of trouble then. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm not going there. But anyway, and you're absolutely right, because now is the time. I mean, FaceTime is wonderful. It is. It's something that we never thought we'd ever be able to do. But it's not the same as getting a hug from your grandmother. It's just not the same. I have two grandchildren in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
I mean, it's killing me. It's killing me that I just can't get on a plane. I should be there right now at this moment in time if things had been different. But, you know, health is extremely important. So we're going to open up this Atlantic bubble and we're going to see. And I think Dr. Fitzgerald's mind, and I can't get inside her mind, but I think that she's saying to herself and Dr. Hagee is saying to himself, let's see how, you know, if we get an influx of cases. Let's see what happens before we start opening up our long-term care facilities. And I think we're going to have to be more patient, but there may be ways that long-term care facilities and personal care homes can be a little, you know, a little less strict in terms of visitation and maybe more outdoor visitation or...
All of those things are important things to consider, and certainly for those of us who are visiting, we must adhere to all the provincial regulations that are there when it comes to visiting seniors. Anyway, I have to let you go. Great to catch up with you. You're doing great work. I see it and hear it all the time. Thank you for what you're doing, and I will pay you off air for not embarrassing me. So there you go. How's that?
Thank you, Tim. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Dr. Suzanne Brake, the Seniors Advocate for Newfoundland and Labrador.